Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff.
Let's go, fellas, let's go.
Every Monday evening at 6, meet our special Green Bay guest.
Come on, win the game.
Now live from Tavern in the Sky at the top of Lodge Kohler, Green Bay. Here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Well, we're here this evening on happier terms. 31-12, the Green Bay Packers got a win yesterday over at Lambeau Field. They knocked off the Miami Dolphins in fine fashion. They turn it around on a short week, and I know that they have work that they did today. Back at it again tomorrow. Joining us here tonight, hoping to be activated to the roster, Trevor Davis, the wide receiver and kick returner, here with us tonight on the Lodge Kohler Kickoff at Tavern in the Sky. How you doing?
Doing well.
You feeling good?
Feeling real good.
Yeah, so I know that they're kind of secretive about stuff, about whether or not you're going to play or you're not going to play. So we're not going to give away any state secret here this evening. But
very much so. I mean, it's a secret to me, too. So I don't exactly know all the time either. So it's really figured out. I'm pretty sure tomorrow figure it out. But it's been hinted at that it's pretty sure I'm going to get out there and be able to play this week.
How has it been sitting on the sidelines?
I mean, it's not fun, especially growing up playing every single play, every game. Normally, I mean, just having to watch games and wanting to be out there and feeling healthy, it's hard, but it's good to come back.
Special teams has been different this year, we'll say.
Yeah.
There's been a
lot
of different guys back there. There's been some fumbles. There's been, obviously, a blocked punt yesterday. It has not gone well in the world of special teams, and that's where your specialty is. So talk about you just kind of sitting on the sidelines and watching everybody go through this and watching coaching and Zook and everything that's kind of culminated.
It's hard. I mean, it makes more of a want to get out there and help and contribute. I mean, there have been moments where we shined in kickoff return, and we've had a few good returns this year, but they all were called back from penalties, which is something huge we need to clean up, especially in special teams. But you can see that we can be great on special teams. It's just the fact of little small errors and penalties, things like that. So, I mean, I'm ready to get out there and help our guys out, and I think we can be really good.
Talk about the game yesterday, just in general, because you guys kind of needed that one.
Yeah, that was big for us, especially just a statement win to let people know that, you know, we aren't just, you know, getting beat in games, and every single game we've played has been down to the wire, and to finally get out in front of somebody significantly and actually show that we can beat a team dominantly and go into a game. It'll be a big game to play Seahawks as well. I mean, because they're kind of in the same boat as us, needing a win, and we're trying to keep our streak going.
The record speaks for itself. They always say you are what your record says you are. You guys have beaten one team that's over 500, technically two with the win yesterday over Miami, but you put them back to 500. But you were close in L.A. You felt like you guys had that one.
Yeah.
The Patriots game got away from you a little bit towards the end, but for three quarters you went toe-to-toe. Is the feeling, because you've been around for a while, it's not like you're a rookie coming into this thing, is the feeling glasses half full, or, man, what do we got to do to beat one of these teams? Are you kind of, because Randall Cobb said it feels different.
Yeah. I mean, it feels different just in the fact of, you know, we're used to winning all the time and coming into games and being underdogs. That's somewhat new to Green Bay. But, I mean, going into these next games, I feel like we have the viewpoint that we can win all these games. The same way, like you said, we went toe-to-toe with New England. I feel like a lot of games we lost in little instances. Same with L.A., little instance where we feel like we should have won that game. And we know we can stand toe-to-toe with the best in this league. And I think our whole team feels the exact same way.
Aaron Rodgers at times seems to be a little bit frustrated. Yesterday I saw Davante Adams. He reads go route. Aaron Rodgers reads an out. There's a little bit of a mix-up. You're not only a kick returner but a wide receiver, so you go through all of this. You see what it's like. How tough is it to get on the same page with Aaron?
At times it can be tough. He has little subtleties that will change the complete route to something else, or it could be something you saw on the defense. But, I mean, as years go on, I feel like it's hard to play with him, but it's also easy because he's so good, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard in the fact that there's so much you need to learn to basically learn what he's thinking at the exact same time he's thinking it. But he's going to put the ball perfectly where it needs to be all the time. So, I mean, there's little things like that happen within games once in a while. But for the most part, we're all the time on par with him. And we've been doing pretty good this year, wide receiver-wise, especially with the new guys coming in, learning the system. So, I mean, I think they've been doing really good.
Talk about the new guys learning the system. I mean, you went through this. You talk about, you know, still trying to be on the same page with Aaron. How tough is it as a rookie? Go back to your rookie year coming in and saying, I need to get on the same page with this guy if I'm even going to have a shot at cracking a lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it's different than my rookie year because, I mean, it's a new offensive coordinator, new basically offensive staff right now. So the offense somewhat has, been a little bit different. But overall, those guys have done great in that aspect. I mean, there have been a few things here or there, but for the most part, you can see that Aaron Rodgers trusts him. So he's throwing him the ball, and they're making plays on top of that.
What do you like more? I mean, would you rather be the wide receiver on the outside, or do you like returning kicks, returning punts, and kind of being on the suicide squad, so to speak, at times?
I like both. I like the way Tyler Lockett does it in Seattle. He is a starting kick returner, a starting punt returner, and also he plays offense as well. I mean, he has the most, what was it, all-purpose yards, I'm pretty sure, in the 3 years he's played, or three or four mm-hmm. years that he's played. So that's the kind of role that I like and what I would like to basically get into.
Is there a ton of motion in the offense?
Motion.
Is there a ton of just motion prior to the snap? I'm going through this yesterday. Everybody keeps talking about, well, it's a predictable ISO route offense. And I thought, okay, let's see what it is. And I could probably count on that one hand, maybe guys that actually are in motion and predetermines for defenses and who has who and checks for Aaron Rodgers. And is there a lot of motion, or is this just a lot off of one particular set? There's so many different things you guys can do.
Do you mean motion like pre-snap, like we do
pre-snap
motions to
yes.
see what the defense is
Correct.
Doing? Correct. Yeah. There's a lot of that. I mean, a lot of it is mainly just to see what the defense is in before the play is there. Basically to see if it's man coverage, to see if he's going to follow him across the field, to see safeties drop because we motioned or the linebacker shift for our run plays. So we do a lot of that basically to know our matchups.
Yeah, I was going to say, because people don't understand why you motion or what you do to motion now. Mm-hmm. When there's different routes to get guys, because I want to get specific here because I want to talk about routes to get guys open. Everybody says there's an offensive plan to get guys open. Aaron alluded to it yesterday. They said, what happened on that fourth down play? They said, guys were supposed to get open. So is it just a matter of beating your man one-on-one, or is it just a running a guy off to a particular spot? Is it rubs across the middle? I mean, when you start talking about the nuances of the offense, it's already there. So it's not like we're giving away state secrets. It's what people see. But what is it the offense meant to do?
I would say one-on-one matchups for the most part. We like to get guys in certain positions to beat a matchup. So if we know that they're not going to
shift a certain point. It's always been that way, hasn't it?
Pretty much for the most part. A lot of teams play us man-to-man and press up, and they want to get, a rush on Aaron to try and speed up our offense, but we don't have a lot of time because if you give Aaron a lot of time, bad things will happen to defenses. So basically that's the main thing they do, and to do that they need to be in man coverage and blitz certain people. So they want to keep everything in front of them, and they want to basically try and man us up, which is what some people do, but other people have been resorting to quarters and basically just backing up and trying to not give us big plays.
Right.
So it's really one of the two, but up in the 3 years I've been here, it's mainly been man coverage. We're trying to put Devontae on somebody that we guarantee know he can beat and just let him beat his one-on-one matchup.
That's one of the things. I had a conversation with Aaron years ago, and I said, look, on third and two, third and one, you're driving me nuts because you're going 20 yards downfield consistently.
Yeah.
And he said it's not about the down and distance at that point in time. It's about if I come to the line of scrimmage and I see at that time whomever, whether it's Devontae or Randall or Jordy or somebody, if I have that matchup, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
We're going to that matchup. Is that the way the offense kind of predetermines itself?
For the most part, I say, yeah.
Okay. What is it like now to have a run game to back it up?
It helps us a lot, especially as receivers. You have the linebackers crashing down a lot more, which causes more holes basically for us and more separation. So, I mean, that helps a lot. And I'm pretty sure they're top in the league right now in rush average right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps our play action. That helps opening up the pass game. And also helps our running backs and offensive line get motion that way.
You guys really, and knock on wood, but you haven't been really banged up this year, offensively speaking.
Yeah.
Brian Bulaga's been a little bit nicked up. And, Randall's missed a couple of games and such. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, we've seen a whole year where all the wide receivers but a couple have gone down. So this year you've remained relatively healthy. What's it been like having the same group of guys working together, talking together, study room together, all that? What's it been like, and what do you expect from here on out? Because usually as the season goes on, those things continue to get better.
A lot of chemistry, basically, because it takes that in our offense. And especially, like I said, it's similar, but it's a little bit different this year. So, I mean, it's all a building process, and seeing us just getting better and better, like you see the young guys start having more confidence in Aaron, having more confidence in them so he can make those throws. And then also us building up our running game, and now Aaron Jones is starting to get more rushes. So I think it's good because it's all the same guys, and we're all working together towards the same goal and seeing each other in practice and being able to talk to each other and build every single day.
Being a wide receiver, you look at the new guys coming in, and so you see Equanimeous. You see, obviously, Devontae's got a heck of a contract and a heck of an ability. Geronimo, unfortunately, he went down for the season. But then you see Marquez Valdes-Scantling and those guys, Jamon, they start to really come on. Give me your thoughts as a wide receiver yourself looking at these guys and saying, what is the upcoming talent for the Green Bay Packers?
I mean, there's a lot. All of our draft picks that we got are all out there making plays right now. So, I mean, the future seems really bright right now, especially having Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. I mean, all you need is people to throw to, and right now he has that. And then you have Devontae, who is a person in the league that I don't think anybody can guard. I mean, he's too shifty, he's too fast, he's a big receiver, and you have great slot receivers as well. So I think our production and running backs as well. I mean, we have two guys back there that have been killing it this whole year, so it's big on the offensive side right now.
Talk also about Aaron himself, because Aaron it's been a little off. It hasn't been as fluid as far as the offense goes. You guys yesterday played a full three quarters of football, didn't put a whole four together. You've put halves together this year. What has it been about? Because at times he's thrown more balls away this year than he ever has in the past. What has it been about just not getting that offense in flow?
I mean, it's hard for me to speak on it when I'm just receiver, you know, but for the most part, what I notice is that if we all can be in flow and if we can put four quarters together, I don't think there's many teams that can beat us at all.
Okay. What frustrates Aaron Rodgers?
What frustrates Aaron Rodgers?
Because you see the face
every now
and then.
Not on the same page as him. That's the main thing. Like, that's really what he wants completely.
So you go to the line of scrimmage, how do you know when he looks at you as to whether or not you're still on a go route, an out route, a curl, a cross? How do you know? What – you know, when he gives you that wink or a nod, how do you know exactly what he's looking for?
I mean, I can't give away our offense and whatnot. You know,
I'm not asking you to give away
see
a play.
I'm just
saying if he comes to the line of scrimmage and he just looks at you, you know, sometimes he's just looking at you. There's other times you know he's looking at you. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah,
yeah.
Like you said, there's a difference. So you just have to know.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. There's nothing else to say about it.
It's like he taps his head or anything.
There's so many reps you do in practice where you can just tell by the way he might, like, move his hand or whatever the case may be that if he needs to get your attention.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it seems like there have been times recently where you see him do something and then he ends up throwing it away, and there's just this level of frustration. And you just wonder, is it something that he saw that somebody else didn't pick up on, or was it the play just didn't develop and he was just upset with the play in general? So that's where, as a fan, somebody on the outside, you're trying to kind of get in the head a little bit, not to give away the offense, but to say, okay, what's kind of ailing him? What? Because Aaron, after a win, is usually upbeat. You know, he's home, he's having scotch, he's good to go. He didn't sound upbeat yesterday. He sounded like, you know, you left a lot out there. Like there's still something below the surface. It just isn't right now. And I keep saying the same thing. I agree with you. You got enough talent. You got two terrific running backs. You got a good deep tight end core. The offensive line's been pretty healthy, knock on wood again. They've been giving him protection. They blew open holes yesterday for Aaron. So I'm thinking to myself, with all the talent that you have, what's the one thing throwing a monkey wrench in this thing right now?
I mean, when he gets upset, I know that's normally when somebody else is doing something wrong. That's the main thing. When he's really upset, he's never wrong when it comes to anything in the offense. He knows it inside and out. He's been here so long. So that's the answer to that.
Okay.
And then you want to what it could be. I mean, I think it is that we leave a lot out there and that we don't put four quarters together and there are some little things and he knows how good we can be. But I mean, that's Aaron. He wants to be perfect. So
it's all good. It all goes back to normal if and when you come back.
I would hope so.
Trevor Davis is our guest. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. We are broadcasting live here at Tavern in the Sky. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We've got a lot more coming up right after this. Welcome back to the program. We are live. We're here at the Lodge Kohler at Tavern in the Sky. It is the Lodge Kohler kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Trevor Davis is here, the kick returner and wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, waiting to find out if he's going to be activated for the upcoming game Thursday night against the Seattle Seahawks. Time now for this week's Wisconsin Stem Cell Therapy Injury Report. Kevin King, also Randall Cobb, both inactive for this game. Kentrell Bryce leaves the game with that ankle injury. Nick Perry had a knee injury. Corner Bashad Breeland, who started in place of Kevin King, had a groin injury. He exited the game midway through the third quarter as well. Lucas Patrick being evaluated for a concussion. Thanks to the Wisconsin Stem Cell Group, you don't have to live with back pain. Try stem cell therapy from our friends over at WSC. Go to their website, wistemcell.com, wistemcell.com. Find out about their free seminars there. Trevor Davis joining us here at the table. So talk about your rehab and what you had to go through to get back to this point.
A lot of hamstring curls, yoga.
A lot of stretching.
You know what cupping is?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a lot of that. And where they cup it and then they move it along your – yeah, that
yep.
sucks. That and then Graston, which is like putting a butter knife and like rubbing it.
Right.
Yeah. Those two things aren't that fun.
I was going to say the Graston – the cupping I can handle,
yeah.
the Graston stuff, that like burns.
Yeah, yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it does.
It,
yeah.
It and if you got any hair
– yeah, and I do, so it's like –
lights out, man.
Yeah.
So they haven't gotten you shaving your legs or anything like that, huh?
No, I'm not going to do all that.
Going through college, you know, all the shaving the ankles and all that stuff, to this day, no hair. It just stops right. It looks like I'm just wearing skin socks. It just, it's bad. You haven't gone through that?
Not at all, no.
See, they got better wraps today.
See, I deal with the pain. I'm like,
back in the day, they just wrapped you with the sanitary, and then they wrapped you with the tape, and that
okay.
was it. You know, they don't have socks or sleeves or anything like that. And then if they missed or if they went too far up or if the sanitary yeah. split.
You know the Kinesio tape?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that they want to put that on my hamstring, but I don't know how is it going to come off, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know if I could do that. I might have to wear a sleeve or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's –
Yeah, it'll just be like
– Don't now, today's they have like a heat sleeve, don't they?
Yeah,
things like that. It's a warming sleeve.
Basically, yeah. But normally you just could put – Icy hot or something.
For, the,
like
for
that,
those that don't know, we're talking about injuries and a hamstring injury
yeah,
and tendon injuries. When they swell up, you know, you get them back to where they're feeling good, and you make sure you do a lot of stretching to stretch them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest thing is to keep them loose. So,
yeah.
especially in colder weather, they have heat sleeves that yeah. they put on them, so you're always feeling warm. But it's not comfortable.
No.
You know?
No.
It's almost like you work harder to try not to get hurt than it is to just go out and let it all hang out.
It sucks that it hurts to try not to get hurt.
Right.
That's the worst part.
And for a guy like you that uses speed, now see me, I was a lumbering dude. I wasn't, you know. I moved people a little bit and then played tight end. But, you know, you got to use your wheels.
Yeah. One thing that sucks sometimes because then
yeah.
it's like the littlest tweak
right.
sucks because you want to hit top end. When
yeah.
it's not like you can
especially if
the
you
game.
Do – now, if you do kind of a – not a jog, but if you come off the line and do that stutter step and then try to kick that extra burner
yeah.
in.
It's like you're trying to quickly burst immediately
it.
To full speed. Yeah,
yeah. That's when you always wonder – after about three steps, you're thinking to yourself, did I hurt it?
Yeah. You normally know? It's those three steps where you figure out if you did or not.
See, I do that going up the stairs. So how difficult a road was it? Because obviously they had to put you on the IR. They,
mm-hmm.
You couldn't come back
mm-hmm.
right away. There's that gray area. How long have you been ready to come back, do you feel?
It's been a few weeks now. I mean, but you know you have to wait a certain amount of time
right.
to get activated and things like that. It wasn't that hard because I've been through it multiple times now. I mean, this is the first year I've ever had hamstring problems. But after going through the process so many times, it was just the same process over and over
right.
and over. So it was finding different ways to basically make my hamstrings feel good and what feels good and what doesn't and what gets me ready and prepared and what doesn't. So figuring all that stuff out, and that was before the 8 weeks happened. And now during that time, I had even more things I could figure out to basically stay loose and ready.
So when you go through that again and again and again, first of all, you know it when it happens. You know the
yeah.
pain. You know what it is. But you think to yourself, I've done everything I could possibly do. How could
yeah.
this happen again?
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, at the end of the day, it's football, and they want to get you back as soon as you possibly can. And sometimes you will be ready, but when it comes to soft tissue injuries, it's always going to be there lingering. So you have to find ways to not exactly cope with it, but not let it get reactivated. Because
right.
you might not have had a hamstring 6 months ago and be great now, but there's still going to be a tendency right there that you can possibly open up.
Do you think about it now that you've had multiple?
Yeah, you definitely think about it. And it's more of doing things that you know won't aggravate it, like I said. So now I know the ways to go around it. I know which cuts, certain things like that, where you just want to basically learn how to go around it.
But you know, as a kick returner, there's once you catch the ball, you're not thinking about a hamstring. At least I hope you're not.
Oh,
usually it's just you got to go. And you know, I guess before the game, you say a little bit of a prayer that it doesn't go again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely say a prayer before kickoff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I want to go back to the beginning of this season. I mean, I know it's tough to watch from the sideline, but go back to that Bears game that Sunday night. You know, you guys getting booed off the field at halftime. It wasn't a pretty first half. And then to witness what we all witnessed and Aaron coming back out of the tunnel. And the funny thing about it was is Aaron got a ton of credit. He leads the team back, and deservedly so. But it was quick outs. It was giving Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb the ability to make plays. It was yards after the catch. If you look at the yards after the catch, they were more than the actual passes themselves. The wide receivers did their job. It was an amazing comeback by everybody.
Yeah, it was. It was a team effort for sure. And Aaron definitely led the way, and a lot of guys made plays on top of that. So that was a huge game, and I think that was a big game for us, just basically being resilient to everything that was going on and having that adversity. Basically, we've had a lot of adversity this year, and I feel like that also helps us in a certain sense because we've played games that seem like playoff games already. We've played games where we need to come back in the last minute and 30 to win the game. And we've played, what is it, two overtime games so far?
Yeah.
So we've had those type of games as well. So we've gone through a lot of things that some teams haven't been able to go through that they might be able to go through when playoffs come around. They might not be used to it.
Yeah.
So that's one benefit.
As a team, do you look at – I mean, I know you can't continually look back, but do you look at the Rams game and specifically the Minnesota game and say, our record isn't – we're not what our record is because we knew we could have won those games?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, of course, at the end of the day, they're losses, but we know we could have won. We know how good of a team we are. It's not like we're wearing our record on our shoulders and just thinking, oh, we lost four games and – basically just saying we're kind of middle of the pack team right now in the NFL.
The Vikings are the defending NFC North champs. They're a good football team, a good defensive football team. Mm-hmm. I think they're missing a little luster from what they had last year, but it had to be a confidence booster to be able to kind of have that game at hand had not been for a couple of things going your way. Got to give you confidence going over there to say, look, we played them once. We know we can get them.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like everyone feels that way. Same with the Bears. We feel like we can get them as well, and I mean, it's really up for grabs right now, the North right now. And
are you surprised how well, say, like the Bears are playing?
I mean, after that first game we played them, they played pretty well. And Khalil Mack helps out their defensive line and their
big
whole
time.
Defense as a whole a lot. And they can put up numbers this year, and they've actually been scoring a lot of touchdowns. So, I mean, they're a really good team, and they've been getting better as the season goes on. So that'll be a big game. But overall, I mean, I think we do feel as though we can get them.
Do you feel like you can still climb back into this thing and still win the North?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an easy one.
Okay. No, when you get behind the eight ball, sometimes you think to yourself, okay, we have to take what we believe is realistic. And mm-hmm. and I still think there's some realistic goals there. I mean, it's not like the Bears have an easy schedule from here on out. And I mean, they're going to collide with the Minnesota Vikings mm-hmm. on Sunday night this coming week. So, you know, are you a football junkie to sit down and just watch everything when you're not playing?
No, I wouldn't say I am. I mean,
some guys aren't.
Yeah, I have kids. I have too much to deal with. So I can't be doing all that stuff all the time.
So well, let's talk about that when we come back, because then you're not Trevor Davis kick returner. You're just dad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? They call football soccer still, so I don't know why they do that. But, yeah, that's a true statement. I don't know why. I didn't teach him that.
On that particular note, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. It is the Lodge Cooler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live at Tavern in the Sky here with Trevor Davis. We've got more right after this. Welcome back. It is the Lodge Cooler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live, Tavern in the Sky. That's where you can find us. I'm Bill Michaels alongside wide receiver and kick returner for the Green Bay Packers. Trevor Davis is here, brought to you by our good friends at Lodge Cooler, also Hupie and Abraham, the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, our friends at Sargento Cheese, Signature Limo, as you just heard, and Waukesha Sports Card. You can make it great and have it signed by a great as well. Time now for the Hupie and Abraham. Good drive of the game. You know what? There were some good plays of the game yesterday in this one. Devontae Adams goes big, and also Aaron Jones goes big. So let's just do both of those. Here we go.
319! 319!
Aaron Jones finding a great gap, and there he goes! Foot race with Howard. Foot race with Micah Fitzpatrick. Jones inside the five! What a gallop! 60! 56 yards. Sam Brown is on the move. Aaron Jones. They're shoving him. They're pushing him. Bell is pushing him in for the two-yard touchdown. With some help from the backside. Second down, about 23 to go. Aaron Rodgers deep. Adams wide open. Look at the cut. The move into the end zone. Touchdown.
Both of those both of those drives resulted in scores, and there you have it, the Hupie and Abraham. Good drive of the game brought to you by Hupie and Abraham, reminding you never to text and drive. Are you a guy that likes to go listen to your own highlights?
Listen? No. No, I watch them.
Watch them?
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, but isn't there's something to be said for the crowd noise and the excitement of a broadcast.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always see it because you can see it on film. You can watch the All-22 all day long. But there's something to be said for listening to the excitement of a broadcast, isn't there? By the way, that's Kevin Harlan in CBS, and Kevin does a fantastic job from this area. So thanks to Kevin for doing that. But
do you when you score, it's great to listen to. If you mess up, it's not.
But like the Aaron Jones run yesterday, 67 yards. I mean, he didn't get in the end zone, but that was the longest run from scrimmage we've seen in a long time, for about 3 years, as a matter of fact. So to see something like that and hear the crowd and hear the excitement and you know, that's kind of a neat deal. Do you kind of compile your own highlight reel?
Me?
Yeah.
No. I just have a few clips.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there are some people that keep them from high school and from college and everything all the way through.
But, I mean, that's why YouTube's there. So you just look yourself up.
Is that what you do?
No. Sometimes.
Okay. You're giving us – I got to go look you up now. I got to go see if you got a couple highlight reels out there.
Next question.
I wanted to get back to you as being the dad. So, well, speaking of that, do you ever go, hey, kids – and then dial up YouTube and go, look at me.
No. I will, though, soon. Soon enough.
How old are they?
3.
Oh, okay. Well, then they're not, you know, not unless Barney's chasing you or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
That's why, you know, they don't understand it that much well.
Okay. So when you get home and you're just dad, you get to throw it all away. So you're not sitting down and you know, looking at every game. You're just kind of doing your own thing.
That's after they go to sleep. I can do stuff like that. But during the
How difficult is it? Because you get the iPads or the film and all the All-22s and things you're supposed to look at. Mm-hmm. How tough is it to manage, you know, life when you get home versus what you're supposed to do to be better?
It's pretty hard, but I've been doing it for 3 years now, so it's gotten easier as time gone on. I mean, when they were 6 months old, I was trying to do it then. That was hard. But now that being 3, they can just tell them to go downstairs and play around and hopefully have some time to myself. But yeah, it's a lot easier, but it does take a lot of managing and knowing how to do certain things and manage your time in the right ways to actually get to do your
job.
How
long did it take you to get into a rhythm where you could go home, be dad, do everything you needed to do, sit down and study, be ready for the next day, whether it's practice or a game?
I'll say this year is probably the easiest year. The 2 years before, I was kind of jumbling around trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
But this year has been a lot easier.
So when you get... you know, like when you get your film and you go home, you take a look at it. Is it the next day? Is it like, okay, everybody looked at their stuff. You know what you're supposed to do. It's not like they're testing you on it. You're doing written tests, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you got to go into the film the next day and start the game plan.
Yeah.
And you're expected to know what you just saw. So you know what it is they run and the coverages they run. Right.
Yeah.
It's not like you're sitting in a parking lot going, oh, I'm cramming for a final, you know?
Yeah. It's weird. Cause I tell people sometimes, you know, they're like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just studying. They're like, for what? I'm like, I play football. They're like, yeah, you play football. I was like, I have to study every single night. We have new plays. We have new defenses. People think we just go out there and run like 5 plays. I'm like, no, this is
how many plays get put in per week? Because it's, you know, when you hear fans say, well, you know, it's the plays. I know the plays. It's predictable. It's not, because there's some weeks you don't run a specific play for all year, and yet all of a sudden that's the week you're going to pull it out.
I'd say about 500 a week, something like that. About 500 slides a week.
Okay.
So normally it's not watching film. It's you can watch film because that's normally learning the defense. But then there's like slides of different plays over and over and over that you need to learn. So, yeah, close to 500 plus. And then you have all the signals. And
most of the stuff like is based off of your base offense, of what it is you do. It's kind of like a language. Because people say, what's it like? It's kind of like if you learn Latin. Latin is – everything's based off of Latin, Spanish and Italian. Yeah. And, you know, so there's a lot of things. But then you got to learn all the languages.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if the lingo changes, God forbid.
Yeah, and every week it changes.
Yeah.
It's not much of the same stuff all the time. I mean, there are, like you said, the base things. But for the most part, we input a lot every single week, or else there would be no reason to input in the first place.
Now, how does that work with, say, scout team defense? Mm-hmm. So they have to run what it is, say, Seattle's running. So mm-hmm. that way you get at least a look as to what Seattle does, mm-hmm. but they already kind of know what you know. So how difficult is it to then scheme against somebody that knows what you know and still have a look of what Seattle's going to offer? If that makes sense.
It makes sense. For the most part, they normally have not slides, but paper and things like that that they bring out there for the defenses to look at every single play to figure out what they're doing. But when they know the offense, I mean, it's pretty hard to predict, especially with Aaron. So, and we change it up. Defense doesn't always know, unless it's like a converted receiver to DB like Herb was. Mm-hmm. He was picking off things randomly because he just knew what we do as offense. But a lot of those guys, they haven't, you know, figured out what Aaron can do still.
Right. So how much does Aaron or can Aaron take making the huddle? Because there have been times he was talking about the two-minute offense where he'll start mm-hmm. to kind of run his own thing. But he said, hey, Bakhtiari said, hey, why don't we do this? How much can actually come up in the huddle and just say, eh, let's do this instead? And you look at it and go, all right, let's try this. We got the personnel on the floor, on the field.
You mean in practice or you mean actually in the
just
game?
Just in the game. Just in the game? In anything. Because how much input does – because we always picture Joe Philbin, Aaron Rodgers, and Mike McCarthy sitting in a room, and then they come up with a game plan. Mm-hmm. But I think there's more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
Of what you feel comfortable with and what you don't feel comfortable with mm-hmm. and how much listening and give and take goes on.
Yeah, normally those things happen after Wednesdays. We go through it. We have it installed. Normally nobody says anything until that Wednesday when we actually run these new plays that they want to install. And then from there, guys will give input on what they think they can do, and then that's when Thursday is normally the biggest practice and – basically, they make all the adjustments, so it's kind of like we have two different installs. You have Wednesday, which is the preliminary one, and Thursday, which is like our whole entire thing where things might have been changed up, canceled out, whatever the case may be, and guys give their input on what they would like and what they think and what they've seen, and they do have their own plays, or not their own plays, but basically can't put their input into what they would like to run mm-hmm. or what they think will work.
So who's in all of that? Is that all the coaches offensively speaking, or is that...
I mean, anybody can put in their own two cents to what they think will work, and it's really up to the higher-up to
Because Mike ultimately calls plays. Between mm-hmm. him and Joe, they put the game plan together. But I guess my question is somebody says, you know, hey, coach, I think this will work better. How open is Mike to saying, all right, let's do that?
Pretty open. I mean, it's more so... I would say Devontae, Randall, RBs I wouldn't know to say something like that. But normally when they do, because they don't say it every single week, it's like, oh, I think we should do this. Normally our game plans are pretty well put together. So, but when they do, they normally take it into consideration.
Interesting. I want to go back to you being the dad, because we had a couple people during the break that when you were taking pictures, they said, what do you – because your kids play soccer.
Oh, no, they don't even
play soccer. They just call it – they call football soccer.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah, I still have
I was going to say, where'd they learn that at?
Not my house, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So the assumption was, I guess, by the person that tweeted us, it said, do your kids play soccer? So do your kids, you know, when they grow up, do you want to play football? Do you want to play soccer? Do you not want to play any contact sport at all? What?
I don't care what they play or do. It's more up to them in my aspect. Most people are, you know, ask me why, but I'm just like, I don't want to push anything upon them. Just if they love football and they grew up watching me play and they want to play it, for cool. I'll
now,
teach
are you one
football.
Of those dads that when they were born, you're putting footballs in the crib and stuff
like
that?
No, it's not me. I love to play with them, but for the most part, I mean, it's up to them, and that's how I feel about it. I feel like if you truly are going to love something, you have to actually go about that finding it yourself rather than it being pushed upon you.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, you know, of course I like football, so I'm going to be playing it all the time and want to do that with them. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if they want to play soccer, go ahead and play soccer. I'll travel the world and watch you.
Yeah. Travel the world.
Yeah.
There you go.
Professional.
Make that money. We are brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupe and Abraham, Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Sargento Cheese, and Signature Limo. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Final segment of the Lodge Kohler kickoff here at Tavern in the Sky with Trevor Davis coming up right after this. Welcome back. We are broadcasting live the Lodge Kohler kickoff program here at Tavern in the Sky at Lodge Kohler. Got to say thanks to our friends and staff over here at Lodge Kohler. They're always fantastic. They treat us great. Trevor Davis, the wide receiver and kick returner for the Green Bay Packers, on hand with us here tonight. You ever stayed here?
Here?
Yeah.
No.
You haven't stayed here?
No. It's nice, though.
Yeah, it's nice. I have never stayed here. I heard they've got particular, like, settings for the showers and everything.
Oh, really?
Whatever your...
Do we get discounts here?
I think there might be a discount in it for you. Okay.
Just a second.
Yeah, I think there might be. It's funny, always people that, you know, have the highest profile make the most money. Ask for the discount.
Hey.
You don't make the most money, though.
I save whatever I can.
Yeah. Are you one of those guys that it doesn't, you know, it's great to play ball for the money, but, I mean, I've known guys that still drive around in Ford Festivas, you know, that are still, you know, making a couple million bucks a year, and they're still driving the small cars and saying, hey, it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, I more so invest my money in to try and have longevity with my money rather than, I mean, I like nice things. I don't go overboard with anything.
Right.
But, you know, for the most part, I don't like spending on a lot of things.
Yeah. So you're not one of those guys that get, you know, diamonds in your teeth or anything like that?
No, no.
There was a particular player here years before you ever got here.
Diamond? Like a real diamond?
A real diamond. And he got the contract, and he came up to the post-game show when I was doing the network, and he smiled, and he had diamonds embedded in his teeth.
Yeah, yeah. I got earrings once, but they were at that kiosk in the mall, you know what I'm saying? So it's like... Is that what it's called? Pergola, Pergada, something like that?
Yeah, something pagoda, like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was it. It was something with a P. Yeah, gold cursive letters. Yeah. It was only like $20, which I thought was kind of expensive. But
no, it was interesting. He had diamonds in his teeth, and he pointed out the window, and he had dubs on the whip and a brand-new Hummer and spinners.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Hummer, so, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 7 miles per gallon for sure.
Yeah, so you're not that guy, are you?
No. No.
You got the kids strapped in the seats in the back, and you're driving the big Hyundai van or something, right?
Yeah, I don't like paying for gas either. But, I mean, I know people drive a lot of trucks out here. So,
let's just say, you know, 5 more years, Trevor Davis is at the end of his career, and he's looking back, and he says, okay, my next venture in life is, what do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up and you're not playing games anymore?
I like real estate. I like real estate investment. I might go back to Cal Berkeley and do something.
We're going to see like the Trevor Davis house flipping television show.
I don't exactly flip. I don't have enough time to do things like that, but I do invest in real estate and certain things like that. I mean, yeah, that's the main thing I can tell you as of right now.
Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I do.
Is it one of those things that's not only a kind of a money-making hobby if you do it right, but you just it's kind of like what you like to tinker
in? Yeah. It might be a girly thing, but I mean, I like houses and, like, you know, setting them up and putting things in.
There's nothing wrong with it.
That makes sense?
My wife and I just bought a house, and that's all I'm doing right now.
Okay, but do you like it, though?
I do like it because I can do – believe it or not, I can have a taste and understand it, but right now I'm the moving man. That doesn't look good on that wall. Let's put it over here. So you got to take the nails out and you got to put it back up. No, you got to put it back over there.
Yeah, so. My dad was a contractor, so I built a house.
Oh, you grew up with that
before, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that was in your blood then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm going into a project with him right now to put a good 8 houses on a lot. So
just a little note, can't cut anything off.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw it out there.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's a bit of advice from Bill to you. Okay. Don't cut any appendages off.
No.
Sawing and hacking and hammering and all that kind of stuff. So you grew up with that stuff in your blood. I mean, it's there's something satisfying about it, building something, putting something together.
It's also owning things. I mean, growing up not owning anything and being able to now, and the longevity and having real estate, owning a piece of the land, a piece of the earth. I mean, to me, I just like it.
Yeah.
And I would like a nice house one day. So, I mean, hopefully. So just invest in the right things.
Just get the land. Build
it
yourself.
I'm not going to say I'm a great contractor like my dad is, you know.
Did your dad own the business,
like,
or was he just worked for a company?
Dude. Yeah, he built it on – he had a lot in the back, and he put a home on the lot. Like, you know those houses where they drive them down and they split them in half to put them on the big old trucks and then bring them over there? What do they call it? I guess it would be a
modular home.
Exactly.
It's not a mobile home.
So it's basically was split in half. We had to put it all back together and update everything.
Okay. Well, he was a project. He did it.
Yeah. It took him a while, but he did it.
Yeah. So, is proud of your dad?
Yeah.
You sound like, you know, dad's kind of his dad.
He's
the
stubborn
hero,
sometimes.
Is he?
Yeah. When you start having to work with somebody, then you're like, I'm a lot more organized, so to speak, than he is.
Okay.
Yeah. But that helps because he can do everything and I can organize it in the right way to get it efficiently done.
So, is it going to be, you know, Davis and Son one day?
No.
On the sign?
No. I like helping him out and all that, but we need to have – he can have his own little thing, you know.
Around your house, have you built anything? Birdhouses, shelves?
No.
None of that?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't done anything like that yet. Everything now is more just investment, getting things rented out.
Where do you live in the off season?
California.
Do you?
I don't even have my own place. I don't even pay rent. I just go back to my mom's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just show
I like
up,
saving money. There was
kids,
no point.
Got
yeah.
some baggage.
The extra room was the point.
Driving a Mini Cooper.
If
not
I
paying
needed
for gas.
My own place, yeah. you know, then I'll go ahead and do that. But
parents
right
aren't anywhere near the fires, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's good.
Luckily,
for that. There
yeah.
was. It was. Aaron talked about it. Clay talked about it. There's quite a few mm-hmm. guys in that locker room that are in that
yeah.
in that path out there.
They're in the northern, you know,
yeah.
L.A. I guess. So
did you see? Could you see that? How do I put this? Could you see that distant emotion in the locker room with some of those guys worrying about what they call home?
No, not too much.
Because that'd be tough, man.
Everybody's hoping for the best. And it is a hard time right now, but I haven't really.
You go to practice, you run back downstairs, you're checking yeah. your phone to make sure your house is still there, and
yeah.
friends' houses are still yeah. there and everything, you know.
Yeah. Well, those guys are on literal insurance company commercials, so I think they're set. So to say that they wouldn't have insurance would be really weird.
That is a very good point.
Yeah, so I think they're covered.
I don't yeah. think B.J. Raji's showing up dancing outside of yeah. Aaron Rodgers' Fireburn house, but yeah. I get it. You know, okay, very good. Looking forward to Seattle coming up as we got a few more minutes here. So what does Seattle bring to the table? That obviously you're starting to study, you're looking up at Seattle, but they had a tough-fought game yesterday. Again, coming close in the Coliseum, you guys did yeah. the exact same thing. It's a team that's been playing good football. What do they bring to the table?
Quick receivers. A stout defense. They've been banged up on defense for the most part, but their linebackers are really good. Bobby Wagner is one of the best in the league. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for sure, but I feel like we can definitely match up to them well.
This is one you have to have.
Yeah.
I mean,
this has got to have a game.
Do you feel that sense of urgency right now in that locker room?
Yeah. I feel like we ought to. I feel like it came and started before Miami. So, I mean, it's kind of just still trickling and burning to this next game.
Because this, you know, this was the tough road. I mean, everybody always said, you know, L.A., New England, back home, and then back mm-hmm. on the road to Seattle and then Minnesota. That block of games is going to be the determining factor of which way the season goes
yeah.
for you guys. That's why I think, man, if you could have grabbed the one in L.A., it's not that it takes the pressure off because you want to win every game, but it's not as dire right now because you can't go mm-hmm. back to 4-5-1
yeah.
of the season.
Want to be above 500 for sure.
Yeah, it's what does Mike always say? You got to get the 10 wins before you can talk about the playoffs. And if
yeah.
you don't basically almost win out, you're not talking about the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So every game right now is a must-win game, and we're going into it like that.
Yeah. Talk about Russell Wilson. I mean, I know obviously you would play opposite them, but talk about Russell Wilson and the season that he's having, because numerically he's still having a pretty
yeah,
good year.
He's having a good year. And normally they're more of a rushing team, and they actually had a pretty good rushing game as well. And that's one thing that opens up their passing game is the rushing game. So,
yeah.
I mean – Pete Carroll does a good job with their whole team. Russell Wilson is having a really good year. Tyler Lockett, like I spoke of, Doug
yeah.
Baldwin. Those guys are really doing good right now. So it's going to be, not to say hard to stop them, but, I mean, if we do the things we've been doing, and especially in this last game, how our defense played, I think we'll do pretty good against them.
We got about 30 seconds before we get out of here, but how difficult is it to play in a place that you can't hear?
Yeah, we were talking about that today and how, you know, they played over there and there's been guys face-to-face and they don't even know what they're saying. So that's one thing. But the one thing that helps us is that we have such a good built-up relationship with Aaron and all our signals and things like that that will definitely be used in this game.
He's Trevor Davis. I'm Bill Michaels. This has been the Lodge Kohler Kickoff at Tavern in the Sky. Thanks to our sponsors here this evening. We certainly appreciate it. Lodge Kohler, our friends at Hupie and Abraham, the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Sargento Cheese, and Pat and Brooke and everybody over at Signature Limo. Man, if you need to take a ride, whether it's to the airport or maybe a great night out, make it Signature Limo. Waukesha Sports Cards, make it great. Have it signed by a great. If you would like to get a hold of a Packer for the next appearance at your place, call our friends at Lammy Sports, 414-727-3600. It is time for us to go. Pleasure, man. Appreciate it. Best
yes,
of luck
definitely.
To you, okay? All right, pal. There you go. Time for us to go. Have a good night. See you.